Tomorrow is the 400th birthday of Rembrandt, one of the greatest painters of the Western world. His canvases told stories from history and the Bible, and he was also the leading portrait painter of his day. Rembrandt made self-portraits, too. He created some 75 of them during his 63 years. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg sees the master through the eyes of today's artists and other experts.
When you look at a Rembrandt self-portrait, and there were plenty of them, what do you see?
Truth.
Historian Simon Schama, author of Rembrandt's Eyes, says in his oils, drawings, engravings, the artist had no interest in prettifying or buffing up.
Rembrandt is really the first astounding artist who, in effect, says you can't improve on the truth. That when you look in the mirror, if it's your own collapsing, half-ruined face, you will find something divine about what other people would think of as the ordinary.
A storage room at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York holds Rembrandt's leftover from loans or their own gallery walls. The Met is where Alex Katz, a major contemporary portrait painter, saw his first Rembrandt.
I sure looked at him. You know, I mean, it's one of those big guys you look at.
Look at, but maybe admire more than adore? Katz says Rembrandt's skin tones are awesome and he has great edges.
He's technically almost in a class by himself.
What is a terrific edge, Alex Katz?
Well, the way he can put an edge on a corner of a mouth gives you information that it opens up, so it doesn't enclose. It just describes it very accurately without enclosing it. He gives you a very specific detail, and at the same time, the whole painting flows. The paint is very fluid. It never tightens up.
Another well-known portrait painter, Chuck Close, saw his first Rembrandts at the Met when he was 21 and new to New York. So was it an aha moment?
It was more of an uh-oh moment than an aha moment, I think. I think I found them maybe less interesting than I thought I was going to.
He was bothered by the murkiness on Rembrandt's canvases, like the brown sauce in Chinese restaurants, Chuck Close says.
I certainly don't want to suggest that I think that Rembrandt is other than one of the most important painters of all time. However, for an artist, you know, you make a decision on whether someone is useful to you or whether his or her issues are ones that you subscribe to, because it's not art appreciation. If it were art appreciation, I could make an incredible defense of Rembrandt, but I don't have to. I can like what I like.
Chuck Close likes Rembrandt's honesty, his passion for truth, the wrinkles and crags and warts. And he loves the way Rembrandt slings paint, heaves it onto the canvas. Met curator Walter Liedtke agrees.
Right. Some critics of Rembrandt said you could pick his pictures up by the nose, referring to the later ones, how thick the paint was.
Liedtke stands in front of a self-portrait Rembrandt made in 1660, 9 years before he died. The artist was 54, but looks much older.
He had worked hard for many years. He had suffered the loss of his wife, a companion, three children, a bankruptcy. So he had problems which he wears on his face there, rather honestly, I think.
Earlier self-portraits, in which Rembrandt wears the pride of fame and esteem, were snapped up by collectors of the day who worshipped celebrity. By 1660, demand had dwindled, and Walter Liedtke says that shows in this face.
Here I think we get the honest facts of what a person, when they're being sober about themselves, sees in the bathroom mirror.
The background is gloomy brown, a mere suggestion of a wall. He's in his work clothes. The loose jacket looks heavy. Maybe it's winter outside. There's a big black beret. Everything is brushy and moody.
But the face...
Curator Liedtke says the face is lingered over, detailed.
The furrows in the brows, the sense of glistening moisture on the skin, that off-center dent above the nose, the beard, and especially in the hair bunched over the ear and so on. And he's really describing physical surfaces and a sense of form, the behavior of light.
He's pursing his lips a little, mm-hmm. and he looks as if he's a man at 54 who's put up with a lot and is still putting up with it.
I do see that, like, you know, my, what's become of me.
The eyes are, I don't want it to sound like a cliche, but they look as if they've done a lot of looking, very astute looking in his life, but they're tired.
But it's everywhere, really, when you think of it. It's in the brows and the slightly downturned mouth and everything about the painting.
And also he's put a dot of light again on the tip of his pretty bulbous nose, actually.
He did have a bulbous nose, and of course that's also a space-creating effect.
Pushes it out.
Yeah, not only is that light there, but there's a deep shadow right under the nose. And of course, half the face is mostly in shadow, the rest in light. But it's extraordinary, given that he's doing a self-portrait, how much attention he's paid simply to the behavior of light for its own sake.
Rembrandt is beyond self-flattery at this point, Walter Liedtke says. His brush is pitiless.
He just gets more and more profound as he gets older.
Again, historian Simon Schama. One program in his forthcoming PBS series on the power of art is devoted to Rembrandt. Schama says in his later years, Rembrandt knew how to paint truth with compassion, to show light in dark, and the tragic quality of broken surfaces.
It is a bit like Shakespeare, I think, and you need to get to a certain point where you both grapple with the most fundamental issues of life, death, and love, and you've worked out how to deliver them.
Museums throughout the world are observing tomorrow's 400th anniversary of the birth of Rembrandt, the 17th century Dutchman with the unsparing look at the human experience. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
I'm looking now at Rembrandt in 1660, as seen by Rembrandt, wrinkled, worn down, intense. The picture is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.